This is an interview, April 2nd, 1985, in St. Petersburg, Florida, with Michael Kopanyuk and Professor Alexander Omelsky on the subject of Ukrainian music.
I'd like to start, before even we talk about music, talk a little bit about your family background and when they came from Ukraine.
I personally know very little about my family background. I don't even remember my grandfather. We came home, but all I remember, he lived in one village, and village that probably 5,000 people when I was born in that village. And it's still there, in Ukrainian village. And my father and his parents, probably all they did in the village, mainly with the farm, working as a peasants and the farming people. Mm-hmm. So as much as I remember.
Do you know why your family came to America?
I only myself came to America, nobody else from my family. I am coming, and of course, after World War II, like many other people, after German forces took me to whatever, and on up to be in Europe and in Germany, and then go back to Ukraine because of the conditions of that. You cannot speak free, you cannot sing free, you cannot do anything, so you can go back.
Mm-hmm. And I come here because all my friends from the school, from the university, a lot of them, and my brother and two cousins, son, they were already here in America. Mm-hmm. So I come via Brazil, then here to America, and I was very happy to meet them and to meet this beautiful life of this freedom that I appreciate it very much. Mm-hmm. Now about the Ukrainian culture, the music, I would say that the Ukrainian people, they originated all this folk songs and so on. It comes all from the people, mm-hmm. and from the long time ago. And there are different forms, different to name all the different kinds of songs that they are. But they are very good. They are all together connected with the history of the
Ukraine. They're connected with what?
The history and the life of the Ukraine.
But the music is...
So they in their text, in the music, they told about the life on the labor, on the fields, on the fishermen, and then of the other kind of the life, and there is a wedding and so on. This is always had this kind of music and songs, mm-hmm. and they express it in the words. And it's very interesting because they are very variable. They are light music, then they are sober music, they are working for the big shots, you know, mm-hmm. and we're not paid, you know, for this and so on. So all the good things, and the sober things, they always express it in music. And they have a lot of different music. I can tell you in Ukraine that I don't know how to relate it to in the English, you know.
Shortly, Ukrainian people as a whole are very song-loving people. They like to sing. For example, we were talking with the professor coming down here. If you have 10 Ukrainians, they'll form a church and they'll form choir in the church immediately. So they likes to sing. So overall, music, and particularly choral music, was developed in Ukraine a long time ago, and of course, people who emigrated down here, they brought with them the same thing. I remember, maybe the second Sunday I was in this country, way back in 1949, we went to church, and we went on a picnic, and a group of us, about five of us, young people were singing, started on a picnic ground, and then everybody around us, people who came in here much earlier, 20 years ago, it was so new to them, and reminded them back again home, and they came and around us, and all of a sudden, 50 of us were singing. And that's what all the songs, history, Gobert, even composers, and mainly Ukrainian composers were getting their topics and melodies from the Ukrainian folk music. Mm-hmm. And even other people, neighboring people, were also getting a Ukrainian topics for their music, like Tchaikovsky and Mussorgsky were getting some for their music, what opera?
Yeah, Tchaikovsky used it in Ukrainian theme in his second and fourth symphonies, and in his first piano concert in B flat major. They are Ukrainian themes. If you know, you hear immediately that they are Ukrainian themes. He, when he was in Ukraine, he was every year for several months there. He collected all the tubas. Not only it was Rimsky Korsakov, but it was Rachmaninov, it was the other year too, Mussorgsky. They all used Ukrainian things because they liked very much.
Mm-hmm. Ukrainian, I mean, people, as I mentioned again, like to sing, and they do sing generally, as Professor has mentioned. For different occasions, you have a wedding, so they have a special songs pertain to wedding songs, special. And people will create. In one town, you'll find different words with a different melody, maybe different. The next town, and 100 miles away, will be very close, but a little different. Then you have a religious song that was sung in the church, for example, and at Christmas time, of course, carols. One of those carols, of course, was accepted here in America, which is a carol of the bells. That's a Ukrainian, typical Ukrainian melody. Yes, that's your probably. Then there were songs in the connection with the Eastern special songs. Girls and boys will go out on Sunday afternoon at Easter time, and they will be singing songs, and they will play games and singing songs all together. Also, let's say anything that had to do with farming. Let's say they ended a wheat collection, whatever it is, in the fall, whatever, or collecting or picking out from the fields, corn, whatever it is, and they would get together and husking what you say, that, and they were singing songs, special songs. There were, of course, songs connected with the Christianity, and before that there were songs connected with the pagan religion, before the Christianity came in. All were interrelated, but again, people would all that create and were singing to these occasions, all those kind of, and then of course later on all the composers were collecting all that and putting it in the more in the music and the melodies that you and I and people familiar with music could read. Mm-hmm.
Could you describe one of those games that children played with music? Do you remember? Do you know any of those?
Well, Eastern, let's say, games. Would you remember any kind of Hayoke melodies?
Is it
I don't remember. I don't. But when I, in, say, part that I coming from, it was a little bit different when part Mr. Mikhailenko or Professor Meister comes from. So mm-hmm. Whenever I say, if I remember, the game they were playing on the Easter Sunday afternoon, the girls and the boys would go in a pair, and then
standing on the side, girl and the boy standing side, and there was another pair, another side, there was a lot like a gate, and another people from the end of it would walk right through it and were singing songs. And the last pair would go back again and sing and go all the way to the end and put against that on the side. And the rest of us were always, so they all were forming on a green lawn. It was going all around. There were 50, 100 boys and girls. And there you see all this, I don't remember the name of the how they call it. But would walk again and then singing, and stand aside. Another pair would come in and sing and stand aside. And that I remember, but there are many other different times. We had in here a couple of years back when Mr. Bamko was alive, we had that in here with Tri. But I don't remember songs. And of course, carols. There are numerous caroling songs connected with the Christmas season.
And then the beautiful church music.
And then of course it's regular church music. Regular church music is.
You see how they like the Ukrainian music. There is a Holland choir, original Hollandese. You may hear twice according to it. They are all Hollandese, but they sing in Ukrainian folk songs. And
Dutch, but Dutch would you call that from a Holland?
They like it so much that they perform this, to go around to Europe and to the America and all this part. Besides how beautiful the Ukrainian popular music is, how rich it
is. As I say, all entirely, they, none of them speak Ukrainian, and only director is Ukrainian, Antonovich is his name, and he's directing his Ukrainian, Dutch people singing Ukrainian songs. There's a famous, of course, Vienna, there's a choir also right now, it's still there. In America, after World War One, a director, famous director, Ukrainian, of course, it was known here, Korsic. He lived in and had a choir, I would say at least 100, maybe more people. And they were traveling throughout cities, American cities, New York, Philadelphia, Detroit, and abroad in Europe, and with all the songs.
It was tremendous success. I was told that when he was in London, the critics there is very severe. They told him all the things they can say, nothing about this choir. It's marvelous. But the only thing what they can say that the conductor, was a little short or something.
Yeah, sorry, his,
they could criticize, except
short, yeah.
It was a little too short,
yeah.
But the other was marvelous.
The tuxedo was
too short.
The tuxedo
was too short,
otherwise they couldn't criticize
the. And then in 1927, as I remember, now, but I told me I read about it, there was an international festival for international music. Popular music, and the Ukrainians told had to catch the first prize.
It was in Rome, right? In Italy.
1927
in Italy. It was an international music festival, and of course another country, Italy. Of course, Italy is well known, people singing and composers and so on. And even then, Ukrainian won the first prize in Italy. So Ukrainian international music, music is really. Who keeps people, I should say, when they are sad, when they are happy, when they are all kind of occasions, they try to forget or be happier in the songs.
In the songs and in the dances.
In the dances. And of course,
the
dances go together with
the
dances. Even when somebody dies after they bury a person, so after that they come into the home of people who somebody died, or maybe somebody else's home, and they would eat and drink, and they would sing the songs, and these songs, of course, would be a more
of sorrow,
sadness. But they would be singing songs, and of course, when wedding, yes, of course they're much happier songs, and I don't remember any, just about any specific songs that would pertain to it, or what words would be, but I know they are the very happy songs.
What is there a general difference between the church music and the folk music?
Oh, sure. Yes. That's good.
Could you kind of describe that?
Well, church music, it is the first what started, it was under the Byzantine influence. They have some Oriental character and some from the Greek of what they
call. Yeah, because of course Christianity was accepted in Ukraine from Greece. I mean from
the
Byzantine, I'm sorry.
Constantinople,
yeah, Byzantine.
So. With the time they formed their own music and developed it.
Botnyansky, developed a church music composer, Botnyansky, Lazar, composer Stetsenko. Again, they developed more church music. And it is, it's not as happy, and of course, as like this, it has to be part of the church. But is it? Different tunes, different melodies. It doesn't stay like a chant music in the Gregorian, or it's that the same repetition. It's not like that. It varies, and G minor, F minor, whatever. I'm not familiar, but it would be a different kind of tonations, and would not be repetitious the same way.
It is because historically they had a bad time because they come the Tatar Orcs, you know, the Mongols, and they were always Russians. Then come the Russians, the Polakos, dominated them. So there were changes in all this music, mm-hmm. But the expression from the popular music comes from the people here.
From the people, yes, and it varies. In that sense, it varies, let's say, from a Western Roman Catholic music, church music, because it probably was developed more by the priest or by the church instead of doing it, getting it from the people, getting it as an influence of people, masses, or so to speak,
yes,
or
it's
influence.
Music is really different.
That's why it's a little different. And much different from a Western music, Roman Catholic music, than this, it's a Ukrainian music.
I would say the characteristic of a Ukrainian character is this, that he can be very sad, but then he said, let's all go, and then he started a very gay music.
Very happy, yes.
That's the difference. They can be very happy, they can be very unhappy. It depends.
Is the Ukrainian that's used in church music different than from the Ukrainian that's just spoken Ukrainian?
No.
The language started in Slavonic.
It used to be Slavonic, now it is Ukrainian. Not like a Roman Catholic. It used to be Latin, and they trying to put English or Spanish, whatever it is. It used to be Slavonic, old Slavonic language, Ukrainian language. And then, of course, music was adapted to that. Now people are transcribing all Slavonic into Ukrainian, spoken Ukrainian language. And of course, music is, it's not that easy to do it because words are different, but composers or directors are trying to fill in
mm-hmm.
in that music. Not to change much.
I think one of the first times I spoke to Mr. Kohut,
mm-hmm.
he said that if you're Ukrainian, you sing.
Yes, which is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned to you. You get the 10 Ukrainians, they will get immediately to church and get the choir together. We were in here, I was in here about in Florida. I was in here 2 years, less than that. And already, and another individual, Mr. Bamko, was in here a year, but he was singing, he was a director, he loved music, really. I like sing, but My wife liked the same, but I didn't have anything to do with that. I didn't understand music. I didn't read much music. I'm not a musical fan. But I still like music and have a little bit a voice, maybe sometimes too strong. So immediately organized a choir. Mm-hmm. And two, three, four, five, and all of a sudden we had a choir. Just a year after that. So Ukrainians, yes, like to sing, as I mentioned to you. First Sunday or second Sunday, I was in this country, went to picnic immediately. We were starting singing and had people around.
And I came from Ohio, I expect them, when I go to the church, I expect them to sing. Because I feel, why do they, don't they sing?
More elated. People feel a little bit elated when they go to church and hear songs. I mean, more elated than let's say, people who just answer the priest's words and of course.
To participate, and
as far as the church, you mentioned participate. It's true. There's a music which a people, entire church is singing, which is a little bit differently, but everybody knows. Then a music which is a composed that the choir is singing. But it's a little bit higher. People in the choir read the music and a little bit different notes and four different or three different. You have sopranos, altos, and of course in the church everybody sings unison.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody sings. So, but at least everybody will. I go to from here to church to New York or to Chicago. I know what they're singing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone in here present go to the church, Easter Orthodox. Ukrainian Orthodox or Ukrainian Catholic will go to church, we will know what they're singing and we immediately could pick up and continue if they're singing, let's say, in the church in unison, entire church. If a choir is singing, it's a different story. I may know that melody, Ms. Magdalene Professor may know that, my professor will probably know everyone, all the melodies, but a melody will be a little different.
Mm-hmm. I went
to
a couple of Sundays ago when the bishop came.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So I sort of know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a little bit different. And of course, President Director had a little bit because Mr. Benko, he liked the music and he selected probably one of the best pieces for the music, even they were difficult to sing, but he selected, he liked them. And the President Director had a little bit difficulty in adapting because you finish one melody with one note and then you start another one with different note. And it's difficult to get in tune immediately,
mm-hmm.
And especially when but it's a little bit different, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but the history in Ukrainians, they were always oppressed people. Mm-hmm. We were always oppressed people, so church was more or less where we could get together and sing together.
And sing freely.
Express ourselves.
That's right, that's
mm-hmm.
right. And sing freely, that's right. Always were under somebody's domain and... in the church, you could, as Mrs. says, express yourself in the songs, yes.
In the songs, but it's deep in your heart, you could express.
Because it is really expressive for church music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So and of course, with the songs, of course, we have occasion and dance as well. And of course, so the dances and yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe some of the differences in the dances? Are there dances for different occasions, like there are songs for different occasions?
Well, yeah, there are different.
There would be different occasions. There would be different regions of Ukraine, let's say Carpathian regions. People mostly are there in the mountains, the Carpathian mountains. They all would do a cut the wood and get those wood on the rivers, and they used to do in all 40, 50, 100 years ago in here, they used to put rafts on the rivers and get them down the river to the main, to the cities. The same thing in Ukraine we're doing it. So those people, and they were singing and dancing differently with the axe and smaller axe, and they were singing that way, and mostly men would be singing, dancing, because men would be working in the woods, ladies would be home, it's a hard work, so they... Now in the regions, like say in Poltava, where there's a wheat region, and so on, there would be a different songs and dances would be a little different pertain to that region. And dances, let's say,
that the girls participate only, let's say they may have a dances just as a wedding, like what they have in when the girl gets married 2-3 weeks before, the friends of her try to do something for her, so they would get, the girls would get together and would sing and have their own dances special for that occasion. Yes, it would be different dances. And of course, at the wedding directly, in one region would be dancing differently completely than in another region.
Other than the history, and was the Cossack state independent. The time the Cossack had a very identity.
With different steps, yeah.
Different steps. Hopak.
Hopak, they would have a different steps. And of course, these days, they tried a little bit modernize that, but all the basic steps, all the basic steps are coming from a different, again, history times, for the job from a, when the Cossacks used to have an independent country, independent in Ukraine, about 1600 century or something like that, 1600, so
about,
say, yeah, 1600.
Like Taras Bulba.
Yeah, Taras Bulba, that's right.
What century was that? I don't know.
Oh, about 1600, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was Mazepa, no?
Right.
That is the 1700 in Poltava.
Yeah, in Poltava, Napoleon, 1820, something like that. The Napoleon Wars were in that time, the Cossacks used to be out there. So, associated with the first period in history and what people came up with, and they were jubilant or they were a little less, and sometimes they were withdrawn and not to. But nevertheless, a get together and still show that, well, we like it, and nobody could say that this is political. Mm-hmm. See, this is a contradictory to the Tsar or to somebody else. This, like, this is a people get together, and that's what.
Not always the creation of the people.
Yeah.
People created all these songs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was the basis for the popular the songs. The life.
Something like a folk song.
Different.
Yeah, Because not everybody could do it. Well, at home, almost everybody could do it. Not in here. I cannot do it in here.
At home,
almost every young person, every young girl and boy could dance. They don't need that much. Of course, they were not exact style like you, but everybody, almost young person, would do it. In here, of course, we don't. We have to be taught, and we have to follow the certain steps, we try to do in here. I mean, improvise or get as much as we can, of course, but we still remember, because as it goes, the further you are away from a land, from a country that feeds on all that culture, gives you a food for the thought, so to speak, the more liable you are to forget all that and forget, and the years go by, everything will feel that. So, because you have to have a food, you have to have a base for it, which is a people, and it's right there, and people create. So we are just a carriers of that history, of that, as much as we still remember it.
Well, I'm thinking I'd like to warn you, this thing makes a loud pop when it comes to the end of the side of the tape.
Yeah.
So, don't jump.
Yeah,
it always scares me. So I'm not worried. You said that things have been, we tried to modernize some of the dances a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the differences?
Well, the composers, like Lysenko, after Lysenko.
First talking about the music, but you're talking about the dances?
No, I'd like to understand both.
Oh, okay. So this music was there, Professor talking, yeah.
Yeah, but they took for the terms from dance numbers too, and developed them or in a small symphony or in a camera music and so on, like the Russian people, you know. They used the Ukrainian terms, Ukrainian music
composition. Let's say Ukrainian composer Lysenko was, I believe, was a contemporary of Tchaikovsky. I mean, and of course, the other you find in Western Europe, Bach and some other were contemporaries that were creating some kind of music. So in Europe, Lysenko was one of the first ones who started to make a music more or less on the level with other
modernized
more modern with other
countries, Western countries, and
yeah, he started. After this was a lot of talented musicians.
As far as I can note myself, what I can see, dances are different, modernized. For example, they're a little faster, a much faster music than the people at home, because people at home in Ukraine, they don't care too much about the time. They're happy and they take a lot of time. In here, we try to put much together so we can see a lot, so we speed up things, right? They're faster.
Ukrainian people, they're mostly farmers. We didn't have industry like we live in the 20th century industry. So we are people who are short of time. And so in the olden days, people created, and they are very, time was, we had that time. So to fulfill the time, we didn't care how long it take us. I thought we enjoyed it.
And in the day, probably, that they're trying to the man step, lady steps, and try to get a little bit closer. Of course, in modern is it's a ballet, so make more
more stylish,
whatever it is. Like with, so that's what I mean. Try to, but basic steps are still there.
So in your own lifetime, you've seen those changes yourself.
Well, just recently, it's not as much. Not as much, let's say, 50 years ago. It's probably less, 20, 30 years less than something like that. It's less than that, than this time to modern, right? Yeah. And particularly then in here. Even at home, I would say at present day, Ukraine, even the Soviet Ukraine, still there is some changes here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are there changes in the folk music?
No,
I would say the folk music, that was the basic music that the people created. It's all the same as it was century before. They sing today, even always repeated because they know they are so beautiful. They are always modern, I would say.
No, there are not as much changes as the melodies, I'd say. There are changes about the subject matter of the song. Let's say right now the Soviet regime is there, so they're trying to do something as far singing against it or ridicule or whatever it may be in the songs, regime, so people will not say anything. Now, before that there were Germans or somebody, they would say, but there are no, and of course it takes a different form right now. Wedding is a different form, it's modern. Dresses, and other things, not so. Probably they try to get a songs to go along with that kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
But that much probably would be Mother's Nation. As for us, for example, I'm in here, 30 years. I still am singing the same song that I was singing 30 years ago. Because we don't modernize in here, because we, as I said again, we don't have that base in here to what people out there do have to create on that.
Do you know if anybody has written any songs about coming to America in Ukraine? Does anything like that exist in India?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. It's a few songs. Young people, we have like Young People Plus, which is compared to, scouting.
Oh, like scout?
Like scout. Yes. Like plus they call, and they have a lot of young people. They have a new modernist. They
words. That's right. That's right. That's right.
And even a melody.
Even a melody.
It's already like a jazz. They try to change like a jazz.
That's
plus,
right.
This, young people, they have a lot of this.
Of course, we are not young, so we don't either go any longer. But it's true. You're right. It's true. There's a lot of in the young people in the scout, and there's another Ukrainian young people's organization, which is Assum. They are singing at their summer camps, and so they are singing all these kind of songs in English and try to get English surrounding what it is.
Now they sing in English. Because they have the speech Ukrainian,
right.
Some of them.
Yeah.
And now they have just the melody, all the melody, and just put the English words. they have a lot. Like he said, as soon as they go for a summer camp, and they sing there the whole summer, and really they have a different, their own already composition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's something that happens
a lot.
Where they take, like, you know the song Home, Home on the Range?
Yes,
that's a Scandinavian song. Melody is Scandinavian.
Yes.
And when they came over here, it's a different
word
to describe life in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that happens.
Oh, and it happens, of course, with Ukrainian songs, I'm sure it does happen. And there are a few groups, of course, there are many singing groups in the States right now, many choirs, much better than we were good in the choir, but they are in New York and Philadelphia and Chicago. And there, of course, there are a small units of trios, quartets, and so on, and some of them are singing English music, words and contemporary, trying to get a little bit, mix it with the jazz or what the dance is right now, modern English or American. I shouldn't say English, American, because right here, so.
What about Ukrainian music being played on the radios? Are there any radio stations that play Ukrainian music that you
know? In the States? Yes,
not
in Tampa.
In Florida.
Not in Tampa, not in Florida. But there is one in New York, there's one in Cleveland, in Buffalo,
in New Jersey, in Detroit, Chicago.
Minneapolis.
There's more or less Ukrainian.
Concentration of Ukrainian people, yes.
Yeah. Our biggest city is where more or less people like to listen and request. Because we do it in more or less English speaking words.
We are bilingual. Almost all of us are bilingual. But we are not requesting that the people teach bilingual in the schools. At least my opinion is, in the school could be only one language. That's English.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
see. It's been a long day. I was going to ask about instruments. About folk instruments.
Folk instruments.
You know the bandura.
Bandura.
But I don't know anything about it.
How many? It has a 54 strings or 60 or more than that.
It's the only instrument that
I'm
not familiar and I don't like too much.
Personally.
It doesn't sound to me. Well, I'm a pianist and composer and so on, but it's a typical folk instrument.
Yes.
People like it. It's true.
There is, of course, not more than one. There was one famous bandura choir orchestra, Kitasti. He just died, but still exists.
Yeah, still exists.
In Detroit.
Kitasti, yes.
But there are a lot of in the small independent groups of four or five people, and there are schools who are teaching
young
people to play bandura in New York. And as a matter of fact, the lady was coming here. She lived in here and said they're teaching in Denver.
I can show you a picture.
They're teaching Denver,
she was playing bandura.
Bandura at Denver, so it's very popular right
now.
The
Ukrainian people consider this instrument the national instrument.
It has close to 60 or different kind of number of strings.
Yeah, the bandura, kobza, that was before.
There was a different instrument, kobza. It was very similar to the bandura, but they called it kobza. I don't know,
Created bandura, they have kobza.
That one preceded the
bandura. Preceded bandura, right.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why they were right saying a kobza, an individual was playing on a kobza, which is
the old Cossacks in the steppes. They were homesick because they were
away from family.
So they played their folk and they played all folk songs related to his family.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Lirniki.
Lira. And then before that was a, and the Lira still exists in Ukraine and in Soviet Union.
Yes, yeah.
That would be a very ancient instrument.
Yes, it is, yeah. Yes, it is. And they have a very, I don't know, they have a name.
Yeah, but that was a very tragic moment because Stalin made a meeting with all this, because they, he sent always about the old history for Ukraine in the early time, and that bothered him. So he made a convention, and it was about 250 cops, and he shot them all.
He shot them all, he destroyed them all.
Because he didn't want
anybody to remind of the past.
And these were glorious the musicians.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And what, in what kind of a setting would these musicians perform? They travel from village to village, or just people in the villages?
In villages. Yeah. They didn't want people to remember the past.
They called, told about the hetmans and the glorious
of Ukraine.
All the histories, they didn't want the people to remind.
So they had the knowledge of all the
histories.
That
was in the 30s?
No, that was in the Stalin era.
Because I heard that had happened to a group of Jewish itinerant musicians. The Stalin had killed all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing in Ukraine.
What is happening in Ukraine now with music and dance?
Well, it's flourishing, but it's not typical of only national. They try always to make it
intermix it together. That's right. Yeah. And trying to intermix it and make only one out of it, Soviet, so to speak, not Ukrainian or Polish or even Russian, whether make it international,
make it Soviet.
Yes, all distinction between.
No, they.
They still make the distinction, but again, you have to sing, and you have to.
We have to glorify the commanders, Stalin. The text is other. They take the same music, but they suppose
words.
Other words.
Other words, yeah.
They change the words.
They change
the Soviets
words.
Change the words.
Yes, right.
They keep the music but change the words according to their
mentality.
Right. According to their politics.
So what has happened to the differences between villages?
They are conservative.
They're more conservative, and of course, between the villages, power from the top doesn't get that much in the villages as it is in the cities. They're always more conservative, like you find even in here. Rural America is always more conservative than, of course, in the city. The same way in there, more conservative, and they enjoy less oppressed, or they don't feel that yoke as much. I mean, dictation over there from the top, from the cities, like in the cities. So they still could do that, and they're doing it as not much control as they are in the cities.
When the bishop came, was there any performances in the church hall?
Yes, there was a choir. Choir was singing two songs. Yeah, and those songs were some of the religious and some not religious. Some of the religious. It was from opera, Ukraine opera. One song from the opera taken, Ukraine opera, and some of it's Our Father, because a religious song. So they were mixed. I guess two and two, something
like that. Yeah, Bishop is he's a musician himself, and so I was not here, so I was not present, I don't know what he was singing, but I presume that they were trying to greet him.
Mm-hmm.
He likes music. Yes.
Because he studied music. He studied.
He plays piano himself.
And he sings good. And he has a
nice
voice.
Yeah, I noticed in the church. He has a really nice voice.
Yeah, he has a good voice.
I think, I hope he liked my composition of Metis. Black Sea. I make a variation about it. This is a folk song that describes the Black Sea. I hear with all the waves and so on, and that I express it in the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that something you performed?
I performed in this time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have an album that I wrote some music and that is on these things, like all people, all when I play for Americans or for international people, and they have it, play this Black Sea, which is fantastic. Because I make the narration, you see the Black Sea like it, like it is, like it represents. Hmm? Mm-hmm.
So Professor Meschke has a few personal composition where we enjoy it, mm-hmm. and they can't just be happy and can play for us.
So when you compose, your training is in classical music, is that correct?
Yeah, in classical music, but I am all around pianist. Mm-hmm. I like all kinds of music.
So when you compose, you take some of the old folk songs?
Sometimes, so from the old songs I make variations, like the other composers too. Mm-hmm. Because it's a very grateful thing. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, and you can make all the variations that you want.
And I think most of the great composers use mm-hmm. folk songs.
Yeah. Oh, folk scheme, yes. They have to. I mean, they have to be, so to speak, breathe all that air. I mean, all getting from the people. I mean, they couldn't get it from nowhere. I mean, they some place in there, and they of course improved that, or the way they felt it is based on their training and variations of thinking or music or whatever it may be. They created.
Mm-hmm. You know, Bartok went around collecting folk songs.
Yes.
In Eastern Europe.
Yes.
When he was down there. There's something I was going to ask and it kind of floated away. Are there any other folk instruments that are unique with Ukrainian? You talked about three stringed instruments.
Well, in the Carpathians and the cymbal, no?
But that is a more westernized, I think, the cymbal. That instrument, they call it cymbal, and I know also had a number of strings, and it would be laying like on a table, and people would be hit with a wooden like a drum has a wooden stake or whatever you call it, and would hit them different. That would call it cymbal.
Sounds
kind of
like a hammer, don't
you? Yeah.
That's right. Like the old cymbal.
Yeah, classic. That's right.
Before the
piano.
Yeah.
Whether it was a national, but the people used to play it as much as I remember. I mean, I haven't read in the history where it came from or whatever. But yeah.
And then is the flute from the pastor.
Oh. In the Carpathian Mountains, yes, they
very original.
What they call it?
Trembita.
They call it the Ukrainian trembita, really, which is a long pipe, like
about 12 feet long.
12 feet long. A person would hold it this way, and someone would have it, and they used to from a hill to another hill. Which perhaps they used to maybe 5-10 miles away, and all these were shepherds.
I've seen an instrument like that. I think in the Swiss Alps.
Yeah, that's similar to that. Some of the shepherds in the mountains around the city, they would call from be the Ukrainian, and along with 10-12 feet. I mean, long would hold that way.
What was it made out of?
Our wood. Yeah.
Didn't have a reed in it. It was just.
Probably not. Not didn't have any reasoning. Just a like a horn.
They have a few holes.
Do you play different notes?
Yeah, different notes. Yeah, few holes, but they would play like a horn. Yeah.
It's a real long. I don't know, maybe exaggerated, felt, but it's a number of people. One person from here to Winter, perhaps one person would hold it.
This is sort of a communication in those days, too.
From mountain to mountain, yeah.
You know what they would have been communicating?
Anything. Perhaps, I don't know.
Maybe some
wedding,
maybe some death.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe an emergency?
Oh,
yeah, maybe
somebody lost a sheep or found this, whatever it is, they were communicating that, yes.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't particularly a musical instrument?
It was to perhaps to wake up someone or go to sleep at night, this is time to sleep, and that kind of music would be probably
kinds of melodies.
Or melodies, different type of melodies. Of course, I have a little bit of a
bizarre song.
I have a little on the tape, I mean, not much, but a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they would call it, trombita. I have no, it's what the name would be, English name.
What would that sound like?
Like a very original.
It'd
be like an oboe in the symphony orchestra. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Something like an oboe.
Like an oboe.
But much, much deeper voice though. Much deeper.
Because it's a big one.
Yeah, that's what another. I forgot the piece of that.
So, you feel like you're kind of carrying on.
We try to, as much as we still remember.
Feel it's necessity. It's good to know the generation to come. It's good to know what their roots were.
Mm-hmm. So our, well, I don't know how many younger people there are in this community, but are there younger people in the Ukrainian community here?
Not many, but there are a few who are dancing. Unfortunately, they're not singing because they can afford just about to dance. When, for example, when my boy was still here, he was singing, because it wasn't for long, he left and he departed, so he was singing, my father was still some Yankee to afford it, Miss Christine Conchu, she was singing. In the big cities, yeah, but there are a lot of young people, yeah, they do, they have a choir, they have a
good musicians,
trees, trios, quartets, or whatever, so they do have musicians, yeah. They have the instrumentals,
they have a bandura or a group.
I understand that we are going to have another world war occasion, but one a group from New York will be playing in here to the for the wedding. Well, I don't say that. But I understand. I just heard somebody that will be playing it. From New York or something. So we'll hear that.
There's a lot of moving back and forth of musicians and dancers between here and northern cities.
You mean so gastro?
For the performance, it is not right because it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot really afford in here to come in to. Mr. Banco and did not succeed because there aren't enough people in here who could, have a performance concert in here and would pay for itself for people to come down here. But up north, in the north where the cities are much closer, they do travel from Detroit to Chicago to New York to Cleveland to Philadelphia. They do travel. As a matter of fact, right now it's opera is being played up there, Italian, I think, in the Tosca, Madame Butterfly, mm-hmm. being played by Ukrainians, performed by Ukrainians mm-hmm. in Ukraine, and they are being done in Philadelphia and in New York.
Tosca,
Madame Butterfly, they're doing great.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
but we are too far from
too far
them.
Away, so
of course, we too far. And we had no hall, no.
Well, it could be done.
Those are mostly amateurs.
Well, not really. There are some amateurs, some yes, some are good ones, but most of them are amateurs. I mean, they are not professional. Well, they are professional, but in here they don't pay for it. They get paid for it, not much. So, I mean, they're really educated and they know what they're doing, but they are not performing for the money, as much money as, but actually I would not call the professional. I mean, live from it as a profession. But they are trained and they could be professional.
I was talking to Sophie Lifefiller
yes.
a couple of weeks ago, and she said that keeping the Ukrainian traditions alive helped her to know what her identity was.
Yes.
And when she was going to school in Brandon, she grew up in Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Said she talked to the other American kids, and they didn't know what their heritage was.
Mm-hmm.
Their families had been here so long, they'd completely lost them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, wondering if that was how, sort of how you felt about holding on to.
Oh, we yes, we are trying to do that, and of course, I came to this country, of course, a little bit not too young, and. I have two boys that, of course, they were born here, and the both of them speak Ukrainian, and both of them didn't go to Ukrainian school because I lived away. There was no Ukrainian school like in New York City. I lived in a small town way in Deposit, New York, which is a small city, a small town. But they both speak Ukrainian, then they listen to Ukrainian music, and I send them tapes Christmas time and so on, so they don't forget about it, and they know about it. Yeah,
well,
and of course, Mr. Mikalenko has a children. Yes, and
we still try to keep in our family Ukrainian language and culture and don't say anything.
Holidays.
I have five
Christmas, Easter.
Five of them speak fluently Ukrainian, fluently Ukrainian, written right, and they dance, they sing, they belong to a dance. Of course, they are not here in Florida. One is in Denver, the other in New Jersey, more than New Jersey. But we try to keep our embroidery.
Mm-hmm.
I have two girls. Both of them, they know how to embroider blouse the
Oshnek. Towel.
Have this, you know.
Decorated towels, where you hang the towels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to keep our tradition here from our culture.
And
decorate Easter eggs.
My daughter made this.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, she made a Capucin chair. And I have a few.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, she. I have a pool, three piece key in the other room. We try to keep this. Children know the background.
These are beautiful.
Not this one, especially this make. I have to be honest. This make my son-in-law mother. She was really an artist. But I have quite a few Martas, my daughter, in the other room. This is especially beautiful, and I just saved them for her.
But this tradition was passed from mother to her daughter. Because just like I say, each county had their own design, motif, and design.
Mm-hmm.
We like to keep our tradition, Christmas, Christmas Eve, which is 12.
Yeah.
We have to
12
have
dishes,
12
yeah.
dishes.
Like they were 12
and we
houses.
Still, my daughter still make 12 dishes on Easter and the Christmas Eve. And they bake this colored cheese. The bread, twisted bread,
mm-hmm.
with this, and we try to keep our Easter tradition true.
Mm-hmm. You mean that when she made 12 dishes, that she made 12 different
dishes.
Yeah.
Different,
yeah.
You know,
right? 12 dishes.
12
different dishes.
12.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not
12 different.
plates.
Not fresh,
well, different types of food.
That food, that's right. Yeah.
Now different type of food, right.
Well, that's for Christmas, right. Yes.
But that was for Christmas, but for Easter, there is another whole thing.
What is that?
Easter? It's the beginning of spring, the beginning of new life.
So what so are the special Ukrainian ways of
Oh, the Ukrainian way? Well, first of all,
oh yeah, see, it was the same thing. Well, Palm Sunday, they take
From the church, I have two already from last Sunday. It was Palm Sunday they call, and now we prepare for Easter. You know,
In old countries, it used to be traditional. We were fasting naturally, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. You usually don't eat much. Like Monday you still eat without meat and Wednesday, but definitely Thursday, Friday, Saturday you definitely don't eat nothing with milk, nothing with fat, just oil, sunflower seed oil, and mostly you try to eat fat, any kind of meat,
animal fat, meat,
you don't eat that. You really prepare yourself
for the Easter.
Christ resurrection.
And then the Easter, they had a big Pascha, which in Ukraine call it a big bread, and then they had or kobosy, which is
sausages,
and then a lot of ham, and the cheese, and the pastries, and all, and as they bring it down from the church, Father normally brings the big basket, they lay everybody lays on the table, and everybody just feasts there until
all the richness from Ukraine.
All the riches. For Easter has to be food blessed, and we blessed
in the church,
In the church, every
Sunday morning.
Around the church, they put in, everybody bring basket, and priest bless the food, and then they go home and start it
after the service.
After the,
but